Our study this morning is out of Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, trusting God to withstand many strong and godly foes. Not only can God's people face rebellious foes, as in the case of Psalm 2, 1 to 12, sometimes they face many strong and godly opponents. What David faced in Psalm 3, as he fled from his son Absalom in a civil war. So we view Psalm 3, 1 to 8 for insight and edification on withstanding many strong and godly foes as follows. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God, who is the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to equip us to understand the word of God and to understand how to apply it. We ask this morning for wisdom and instruction that we might first of all, comprehend the meaning of the psalm, and then secondly, apply it in a way that is effective in our own lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the psalm, and then we'll look at it. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that have troubled me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Selah, incidentally, is a musical term. It has nothing to do with the text itself. Most scholars believe Selah was like an interlude where you play for a number of measures and then come back, but we're not sure. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing be upon thy people. And then Selah again. Okay, and this is something before I got into the Hebrew text, I didn't know this, but the introductory segment of Psalm 3 is actually the first verse of the psalm in inspired scripture. If you turn to your Hebrew Bible, in your Hebrew Bible, they will have 9 verses in Psalm 3. The first verse is that introductory section up there, and then the second verse is, Lord, how are they that increase that are troubled me? So we know that the introductory remarks that you have in the Psalms, that's all part of Scripture. And it gives the background as to what's going on here. So Psalm 3 was composed by David under Israel's traumatic civil war, when David was forced to flee as king from the insurrection that was fomented by his rebellious son Absalom. So the background for this psalm is 2 Samuel 15 through 18, 15:1 to 18:33. There are three chapters there, 15, 16, 17, 18, actually four chapters there of Scripture that form the background for this psalm. Now, this psalm, therefore, is something that we need to use or we need to interpret in view of that background. One of the big lessons you learn in Bible college or seminary is that you let Scripture interpret Scripture. Because if Scripture interprets Scripture, it's God's Word interpreting God's Word. And that's what we do. So we rely on the biblical account of that crisis that David faced better to understand Psalm 3, 1 to 8 in our Bible. And you'll notice I'm going to keep the numerical numbers that we have in our English Bible. And I'm not going to use the Hebrew Bible because that will throw you off. You're used to verses 1 through 8 instead of verses 1 through 9, so I'm going to use that. In Psalm 3, 1a, David called God Yahweh, and that's the Exodus 3:14, I am named for God, where Israel was helpless in bondage to oppressive Egypt, similar to David's plight in the events that are associated with the psalm here in Psalm 3. So it's important to keep in mind the name that that David uses for God here is the name that was used of God when he appeared to Moses when Israel was helpless and in desperate need of being saved from Egyptian bondage. Now David then exclaimed how many were his foes who had risen up against him. This would have been a very painful and unsettling experience for David, as each of these foes had once been subject to him as their king. So this is an experience that David faced where there were people who at one time had been supportive of him, were now turned against him, and they were out for his life. That's a very painful experience. Well, these foes were emboldened too, for they claimed that there was no salvation for David from God. They claimed that the creator God, the word used here for God is Elohim, which is used in Genesis 1 of God as the creator. So they claimed that the creator God would not save him, that their cause would prevail. However, in this traumatic, painful situation with many strong and godly foes rising up against him from their former loyalty to him, David said of God, "But you," and this is an emphatic pronoun. You remember in the Hebrew, normally you don't even write the pronoun. It's actually spelled in part of the verb itself. But when you write the pronoun separate from the verb and you put it in front of the verb, it's emphasized. So David is saying, "But you, Yahweh, are a round, light infantry defensive shield used in close combat," that's the Hebrew word magen, "round about ba'ad me." Now the magen actually is how it's properly pronounced. The magen differs from the sinah. The sinah was a full body shield that an armor bearer carried in front of a warrior. Remember, Goliath had an armor bearer in front of him, and this armor bearer carried a full body shield. And that would free Goliath up behind the shield to go ahead and to throw his javelin, to do whatever long distance fighting he had. And then when you came into close combat, your body armor would go back, and then you would have another armor here on your arm. I guess if you're right-handed, it would be on your left arm right here. A little body shield that's made of several layers of thick hide. And you'd use that to fend off blows, and then you would fight in close combat with the magen. So what David is talking about here is the magen. The magen was used in close combat. So David claimed that Yahweh, who had delivered helpless Israel from overwhelming Egyptian bondage in the Exodus, and who had given him the Davidic covenant that promised him protection when he obeyed God. And it's interesting, the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel 7, all of the references to God in that covenant are Yahweh and not Elohim. So Yahweh was now his protector from personal attack by many disloyal people. Very interesting. When it comes to God, God is never in David's writings that I know of likened to the sinah. He's always likened to not just an armor bearer in front of him. This is his personal shield that protects his life, his own life, from blows that are coming from enemy soldiers that tried to take his life. So this is a very personal protection that David is finding in the Lord. It's a wonderful picture here. So he was also, David also added that Yahweh was thus his glorious one who lifts up my head. The word lift up is the Hebrew word room, means lift up or support or sustain and nurture from a state of depression and fear. So accordingly, David reported that he cried aloud to the Yahweh. Yahweh heard him from his holy hill where the tabernacle was located in verse 4. And this prayer may have been David's plea in 2 Samuel 15:31 that God would thwart the counsel of David's former trusted advisor Ahithophel, who had decided to help Absalom, a prayer that God answered in causing Absalom to heed the advice of David's spy Hushai the Harkite over Ahithophel's advice. It's a very interesting situation David got into, where his trusted advisor, who was very brilliant, had decided to help Absalom. So he asked God, "Oh, please, God, thwart the counsel of Ahithophel." And he did. David had a spy by the name of Hushai who went there, and he advised against the advice of Ahithophel, which allowed David to escape. And Absalom went into it. He accepted the advice of Hushai versus the advice of Ahithophel, and it saved David's life. So it's amazing, a wonderful story of how God answered David's prayer in this very difficult situation that he faced. Okay, David then testified that he could lie down and sleep and also awaken alive from restful sleep, since Yahweh had supported him or sustained him. The Hebrew word is samach. God had supported, God had sustained him, that God had encouraged him. There's a tremendous application here when we are really trusting the Lord, even though we're facing a life-threatening experience, we can still sleep because God equips us to sleep. It's a wonderful picture. Now, this is even in the Old Testament where David didn't have the Holy Spirit sealing him. The Holy Spirit had come upon him. But nevertheless, we today, who are at least sealed by the Spirit of God, if we rely upon the Lord, we can get a good night's rest in spite of whatever threat that we face to us or someone who's close to us. And David claimed that he would not fear though tens of thousands of disloyal associates had set themselves up to oppose him all around. The Hebrew word sabab is actually to surround. And it's actually a participle here, and I believe it's used in a substantival sense, or almost a noun. These people had surrounded themselves all the way around. There's a wonderful saying that goes that one with God is a majority, and that's very, very true. Even if the whole world around us is opposed to us, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that's the picture that David pictures and presents here. Well, David then asked Yahweh to rise up and to save him as his creator God, as his Elohim. Now, this is amazing because the claim of his foes back in verse 2 was that Elohim would not help him. So David here is calling to his creator God, his Elohim, to help him. He changes the word from Yahweh to Elohim. And so he's actually combating the criticism of his enemies. For Elohim had before, in the past, he'd always struck David's foes on the jaw. And he had before broken the teeth of the wicked. And that would happen, of course, when in combat you're striking someone on the jaw and you're breaking his teeth. It's with a tremendous blow, which is either knocking the person out or killing him. So in verse 8, David gave a lesson from his experience, a teaching lesson for those who were listening to his psalm. That lesson is this. From Yahweh comes salvation. Upon your people be blessing. So he talks to the listeners of a song, from Yahweh comes salvation, and then he turns to God and says, upon your people, O Yahweh, be your blessing. And then Selah ends the psalm again. And of course, Selah is a musical term. It comes from Salah, the Hebrew term to sing, and Selah, therefore, is a musical term. And apparently at that point, many scholars think that there's some singing or some humming, or there's maybe a playing of the musical instrument. It's like an interlude where the pianist plays an interlude before we have a song. You know, as we turn to a song, then whether Anna's playing or my wife's playing, they have an introductory part. It's an interlude. And then you go forward. And apparently there was this interlude between these verses. Now, I've heard some people think Selah means stop and think about it, and if you want to do that, that's fine. Often, these verses will end with a pungent thought, and it gives you something to think about, but I personally believe that Selah, since it is a derivative of the word just to sing, it actually is a musical term that means an interlude, and we shouldn't read more into it than what exists. So the lesson is, when many disloyal associates turned on him to harm him, David called on the Lord, who had saved a helpless Israel in the Exodus from Egypt, and who had promised him blessing in the Davidic covenant when he obeyed the Lord, to help him as his creator God and surrounding shield in personal combat, finding the Lord enabling him to be so supported and calmed he could get much needed sleep and safely awaken and be rescued. So in times of painful opposition from many strong, ungodly foes of all sorts, may we pray for God's help and find through his word ample support of the inner man along with his external deliverance. The wonderful event happened yesterday in regards to our church here. I thought I would tell you. It demonstrates the Lord's presence and his help. We don't have a person yet, a volunteer yet, to mow the lawns here at the church. But I was becoming, in the last several days, I've become kind of concerned about the lawn was getting long and daffodils growing and everything else. So I thought, well, I'll come down on Saturday and mow. And I wanted to come down Saturday morning, but as you remember, yesterday morning was kind of damp. The grass is wet. So I had to wait. So I waited until the afternoon and then came down. The sun kind of happened to come out for a little bit. Well, as I drove into the driveway, I noticed Kathy Brunetti was here, and she was out doing some gardening work in the back of the church. Back there, the little garden patches, she had some wood chips and whatnot she was working with. And I got out of the car and I went over to the mailbox to pick up the mail. And then I kind of hollered at her and I said, I showed up to mow the lawn. And she said, well, it needs it. Oh, well, that's an interesting remark from Kathy. So I went back and I got the lawnmower out, filled it up with gas and mowed it and so forth. As I was putting the mower back, Kathy came around back. Of course, the where I put the mower is back there in the shed. And she said, you know, I was wondering what I was going to do with all those daffodils. I was working on the gardens, and the lawn was just so full of daffodils. I didn't know what I was going to do. And when you came and mowed it, it looks nice now. So it just solved it. And I got to thinking, I told Kathy, I said, well, I've been thinking for several days about mowing this because it needed to get done. And I wanted to come down in the morning, but I couldn't because it was wet, so I had to come down now. It was interesting that I was delayed just long enough by the Lord to come down so that we would have this interaction. And I didn't know Kathy was going to be here working on the lawn or anything else or on the yard. But the timing of it to be here, just when she saw the need that was here in regards to the daffodils and my just happening to mow it. And I wasn't thinking about daffodils, really. I was thinking about that the lawn looked kind of uneven and ratty. I just wanted to level it out. But it's interesting how the Lord worked and helped. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, the last comment that he makes there is, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. The word lo is look, watch. I'm here. And that was very evident yesterday, as the Lord timed my coming and Kathy's being here so that it could actually be mutually encouraging. It was encouraging to me to see that the Lord used the burden that he laid on my heart to minister in a situation that would have encouraged Kathy as she was working on the lawn, on the garden. And she and I never get together as to what we're going to do as far as yard work. If I see a need, I mow the lawn, you know. Kathy comes down on completely on her own. She works on the garden, totally independent of where I'm at. But it just reminded me once again how involved the Lord is with us in the details of what goes on in our lives and in the church. And this is a passage here that demonstrates the detail of the Lord. David, he could have talked about God being a sinner, but he didn't. God is a magen. He's a personal handheld shield. He will personally protect me from no matter how many people around us. This is actually a very good song for a person who suffers from paranoia, where you think the whole world is against you and that may not be. It's still a good song to use, because even if you think the whole world is against you, if you think it, even if it's not true, you can still apply this. Lord's with you. Lord's with you, so you don't have to be concerned about the world that is around you. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this song. It certainly doesn't have to.